What are we, 9 days away from the start of the NFL season, down to single digits? Welcome in for the next few hours. It's Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic with you, the BetMGM Network. You've got BetSweat, Sam on X at SB Shoot. I'm here at Joe Ostrowski. Sam, how you feeling, man? Inching closer and closer.
So close we can taste it. I'm trying to make plans for Sunday night now because I have a very, very important college football game between Notre Dame and Miami. And you and I haven't really had this conversation yet. I imagine we should have it at some point this week, if not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday. I am very invested in Miami. I also found out yesterday, Joe, that the boys have Monday off. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! So Sunday night, I've got to find my setting. I've got to find my place to watch this game because I will not be watching this game at home. I don't think I'm going to fly to Chicago. I have a feeling you're going to be rooting for the Irish, which is totally fine. But now that we're off Monday and we have that game Sunday night, I don't know what to do with myself.
Man. Yeah, I was mixing it up. I mix up my days. I was thinking that was Saturday because like an hour ago, somebody asked me if I had plans for the Notre Dame-Miami game. And I was like, no, I don't know. Like, we might have to make it an all-day affair because we've got Texas-Ohio State earlier. And then I forgot, oh, no, that's the Sunday one. The LSU-Clemson one is Saturday night, which you also have to make plans for. What are you – well, who am I talking to? I forgot. I was like, what are you more likely to do? Make big plan for which day, all day on Saturday or Sunday? And the answer is C, both, right?
I don't know. Saturday might be an all-day-at-home thing because you have so many games. But then Sunday, think about this. You only have one Sunday if you're college football to sort of dominate because then the following Sunday, it's the NFL and the NFL owns Sunday. So I think college football did a great job with the doubleheader on Sunday. You get South Carolina, Virginia Tech at 3, and then you get Miami, Notre Dame at 7:30 Eastern. Now, if this was Major League Baseball, they would play the games on like Wednesday morning. But college football decided, hey, let's capitalize on this open Sunday and play two really good games there. So I can't wait. I'll probably be home all day Saturday, but then Sunday I'm out because Monday you won't find me. Monday I don't have to be here at 9 a.m.
Right. Yeah. Sundays, I think you're right. Sunday's the night to go out. Like Saturday, it is work. It's a great job to have, but we've got it's difficult when you're out to be up to speed on everything. And to be in a position where you can watch the game or the finish of the games that you want to see. Yeah, you got to give it up to college football. We'll talk about the changes later on when we go over make and miss the playoff markets. Hey, it doesn't really impact those betting markets. But the only change I would make is to make that a triple header. But that was smart for the Sunday game. Instead of people sitting around waiting all day for that one college football primetime game, let's give them an appetizer. And let's give them a team with a quarterback that has been talked about, not on the Arch Manning level, but a ton all offseason. And then, you know, let's just give them one of those ACC Monday night games too. Bill Belichick. That's phenomenal scheduling by week one. They came out with hammer, 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 whether we're talking about Saturday, Sunday, or Monday.
No doubt. And I think we also have to understand, you and I, that this is the last Sunday-Monday we will have off until after the Super Bowl. So it's a party. I might have to bring the dice out Sunday night for Miami-Notre Dame. I'm going to have to put the dice out of my pocket and roll them wherever I roll.
Maybe of my life. You never know. Who knows how this football season's going to go. I'm still trying to figure out all the contests and everything that I'm going to end up doing. Are you officially done? Like you did the Vegas ones when you were out there for your trip a couple of weeks ago. A couple that I know you're doing that you do on a regular basis. You mentioned mine. You mentioned the Chicago media one we always do. But are you done? Or are you somebody like me that's like, maybe one more?
I'd like to be done, but I know I'm going to join your two. Because you have the standard one and the rich people one. I'll join Kelly's Crooked Survivor League, no doubt. And then yeah, I have to do the Chicago media contest so David Kaplan can quit in week three again this year and stop making picks. There's no way I'm missing that one. No shot.
Well, like I was like, oh, should I sign up now? Because I'm usually a last minute guy. I'm like, and then I look at it. I'm like, oh, Catman's already in. We don't have to beg him for his donation. Okay, I'm in as well. We might have to bump up that number. We'll reach out to some people. Man, the Chicago media landscape is very interesting right now. So I wonder if we'll convince some other people to jump in there. But yeah, figuring out contests, it's a fun time of the year. I mentioned to you that I haven't done any fantasy, but I want to get into a fantasy that is fantasy league that is, or pool, whatever, that is actually worth my time. So we'll see if we can land on that. If you have suggestions, let us know. I'm curious what people are doing, like where they're allocating all their money as far as pools too, because the Survivor thing has exploded, but our listeners, our viewers doing that as well. With only 9 days to go with the NFL, we got a ton of news yesterday. Like we got a pretty big story yesterday in like the final segment of our show as we were wrapping up. Didn't have a ton of time to react to the Terry McLaurin stuff, but it's exactly what we were talking about. We were saying, okay, this Aiden O'Connell injury, the Raiders need to get a guy. And it sounds like the Browns were going to keep four guys at quarterback, but they were just posturing. They were just trying to build up the value for Kenny Pickett. And then, boom, we get a deal. Kenny Pickett is traded once again for the third time in his career. This time he's traded to Vegas. He is set to back up Geno. So it's going to be Flacco, Shadur, and Gabriel for the Cleveland Browns since they ended up releasing Tyler Huntley. So in a matter of a day or two, the Browns end up getting rid of two of their quarterbacks. We know the three. And then you can't forget at some point they're going to have to deal with the Deshaun Watson situation once he's healthy.
It's somehow still the worst quarterback room in the league, though, in Cleveland, I think. I mean, that's your depth chart right now. Yeah. I know Goldilocks like the porridge that was just right. They don't have a porridge that's just right. They have one that's really old and two that are really new. And I don't think any of them are a long-term answer. And we've heard some of the stories. Colin Cowherd has talked about this on FS1. He thinks the Browns are in the tank, and he thinks that they are trying to get the number one pick so they can go ahead and get Arch Manning from Texas. But then you hear other reports that Arch isn't going to come out. So if that's your grand plan, tank for number one to get Arch Manning, and he decides, well, I'm going to go back to Austin for one more year, then what do you do? So it's always funny when the Browns have a plan and it doesn't go as planned. Kenny Pickett is a backup quarterback on a good team. He's a starting quarterback on a bad team. So that's really what it was. It doesn't really move my meter. What did really draw my attention late last night was that the Bengals made a deal with Trey Hendrickson. And they're giving him a $14 million raise, not contract, raise. So what does that mean? Well, he will make a $30 million salary next year. Mm-hmm. This year, this coming year, I guess. One season, 30 million bones, and then he'll be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. Look, a lot of people talked a lot of smack about Cincinnati. How can they not address the defense? And I'm one of them. Because it didn't look good. It looked very murky for a long time. But they bring in Stewart, the rookie. He's going to play. And now they sign their best defensive player to a $14 million raise. They got it done. It took a long time. But both guys will be there week number one.
I know a lot of people are looking at the Bengals and kind of laughing. Just like, what are you doing? Why are you kicking the can down the road more? The Bengals didn't cave. Like some people will say that they did. Because they're giving an extra $14 million to the guy when they had him under contract. And I understand that standpoint. But they didn't cave by giving this guy a multi-year deal. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but they clearly have their concerns. They decided, let's pay Chase, let's pay Higgins, and then we'll do what we can with Hendrickson, but he's third of the three. Everyone was like, okay, how are you going to handle all this, all these players coming up at the same time? They took care of the offense. and they had a putrid defense last year that Hendrickson was a part of. There's no doubt this was part of the equation about going long-term with the guy. Truly, how valuable is he if we're terrible with him? One player usually doesn't make a defense, and he plays at a premium position, and he put up some outstanding numbers. But how great is he? Do we really want to pay him long-term the amount of money that he's going to command? And that $30 million for this upcoming season is sixth highest among edge guys. Watt, Garrett, Danielle Hunter, Crosby, Nick Bosa, and then Hendrickson. I think that's about right. This guy's going to turn 31 this season. He's not on the level of a lot of the names that I just mentioned, like Watt and Garrett, even Crosby, who's a couple of years younger, and Nick Bosa. So let's go short term. Let's go all in for this 1 year, and we're not going to risk it and say, like, okay, if we let him go or we trade him somewhere, we're definitely going to be the worst defense in the NFL. We got a new coordinator that we believe in. We bring Al Golden back in the fold. We're going to be better. Hopefully we're somewhere in the middle of the pack, because with Burrow and the rest of that offense, if our defense is in the middle, we're going to be true Super Bowl contenders. I don't hate what they did. I would have hesitated to commit to Hendrickson long-term as well after all the money they've just handed out.
When you think about their ceiling, because everybody talks about their floor, and naturally so, it's a very, very bad defense, or at least it was last year. But what if they're better? And what if they win those one-score games they lost last year? Remember, a handful of years ago, this team made a run of the Super Bowl behind a very young Joe Burrow. It's obvious Joe Burrow is at his best level yet. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, they're all at their best version of themselves. So if they can shore this defense up, this is a playoff team. That's without a doubt. I remember writing this story a couple months ago where everybody was down on the Bengals, dragging them through the mud, and there was a market, Bengals to lose in the AFC title game. Probably not going to happen, but what's the price? It was 10-1 2 months ago. I looked up this morning, it's plus 750. So, as is always the case, if you can make a position before the market catches on or before the big signings happen, you can get a much better price than what it will be. And that, again, went from 10-1 to plus 750. Don't like it as much, but I know they're happy in Cincinnati, no doubt about it. I wanted to move quick to Paul Skeens. He didn't pitch yesterday, but he got more expensive to win the Cy Young.
What is it?
Minus 1,200, BetMGM. Sanchez did not look good yesterday. Faced the Mets, big division rival. That fourth inning really got away with him, or from him. Two outs in that fourth as well, and then disaster. So he goes 5 1/3, 8 hits, 5 earned runs. The 3 walks were not expected. But Sanchez does not have that good outing. We said he could afford one down the stretch. That was the one last night. Sanchez goes all the way out to plus 650 for NL Cy Young.
That may have been too many. I know we said that, but when you have Skeens with the name brand that he already is, and the numbers are clearly better right now, and now we're knocking on a full win better than Sanchez, the market probably isn't going to matter when Skeens is the superstar in this scenario. So I understand the move. I get it. I don't feel good about the Sanchez ticket right now. It's going to be tough. I don't even know that he was that one bad outing was good enough. So now he's so far back that, let's say he's lights out the rest of the way. Well, if Skeens is damn good, you also need Skeens to be bad. He has to have some blow up performances. And that's asking a lot based on what we've seen in his career so far. I'm not willing to say over, but, you know, as we go over MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year yesterday, you look at those 6 awards, doesn't it feel like half of them are done?
Well, the books are shelling them like they're done. At least NL MVP, Ohtani's minus 5,000.
Yep.
And in the NL Cy Young market, Skeens minus 1,200. They're willing to take bets on everybody else.
AL rookies over. That's minus 10,000. Yeah. So about half of them seem to be done, according to the betting market. So interesting move on that one. Joe, Sammy P, countdown to kickoff continues. We're up high with those Super Bowl contender win totals. Will the Lions be a Super Bowl contender? We'll share our thoughts on the other side. You've got Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Is Dan Campbell married?
To the game.
You know, right? Because I'm just imagining, like, every day. Like, just can you imagine riding the wave? Has he ever been just like, chill? It's cool. It's fine. Trust the process. Like, it's just gotta be every ounce in and every moment. Like, every fight probably means, like, it's over. You're the worst. Oh, my God. This guy, so much. It's so, I know the players play hard for him and they love him and all that stuff. But, God, after a while, I would think that'd be enough already. Well, he's going to be tested this year. Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network. Countdown to kickoff. It's time for the Detroit Lions. Let's talk about the Detroit Lions here. Now, they've been on quite the run. Let's increase the win number by three. Let's do it again. That's what they've done the last couple of years. They go from 9 to 12 to 15-2 a season ago. They were the number one seed. Get bounced in the division round by the Washington Commanders, which we can get into. Regular season, not a problem. They end up sweeping the division. They score the most points in the NFL. They average 33 points per game. The point differential, top notch. Like, there's nothing to criticize offensively. Now, defensively, they had a lot of issues. And some would say, hey, man, that's all about the injuries. Okay. We'll see. I think it's worth discussing. And Sam, as we start to dive into the Lions here, something I already can't wait for is later on today, whether people are listening, watching live, or checking it out via the podcast, the clips that come out, I'm very much looking forward to all the Lions haters mentions that we're going to be getting. I feel like I've been getting that for years, and I don't know that I am. And people were saying, we're wrong. And last year we were like, okay, just wait until the playoffs. And then we wait until the playoffs and they had a 5-turnover game. And that was a much earlier exit than many Lions fans were expecting.
You could just feel it last year percolating. Mm-hmm. If you watched the Lions as closely as we did, you could tell at some point in an important game, they were going to play with their food and do something catastrophically stupid. It was inevitable. You can't keep hitting on 18 at the blackjack table and landing on 20 and 21. And they did it a bunch last year, several times. The gambling, the aggressiveness, and the Lions fans ate it up. The problem with Lions fans is they don't know what success looks like for the most part. Think about it. I mean, since I've been alive, how many times have the Lions been very, very good? Two? They don't know how to handle success. And all those mouth breathers that were Lions fans last year that were telling us because they won the regular season that they were going to go to the Super Bowl and they were going to do big things. Anybody with a brain that watched them knew what was going to happen, but they ignored all that because they tasted promise, and hope tastes good. Promise tastes good. But then you start turning the ball over in the playoffs and you turn into mental mashed potatoes. And then Ben Johnson's calling up a wide receiver reverse to the backup left tackle. And then you can't run it in on first and goal at the two. And then they just crumbled. Because adversity oftentimes during a season is good. You know, I remember Bruce Weber. This is a different sport, different time. But remember when Illinois was undefeated in 05? And they had that late game collapse against Ohio State where Matt Sylvester hit the three at the buzzer to beat them. They went nuts in Columbus. It was Dee Brown, Luther Head, Darren Williams. They had their first loss, end of the regular season. That happened. And then in the final four or the Elite Eight, when they had Arizona on the ropes and Arizona had that final play at the buzzer, Illinois knew how to defend it. They were ready for it. They were prepared for it because they had already been beaten by it. You sometimes need to go through some adversity so you're ready for it when the playoffs happen. and they come in number one seed, home field. Oh, rookie quarterback. Oh, this layup, dead. Absolutely dead. And not only dead, pounded at home. I thought last year they had a really good triangle. Head coach, coordinator, coordinator, OCDC. Mm-hmm. You're laughing. I'm still going. I could do this whole segment if you want. You could just sit out. I'll do this whole segment. I thought coordinator and coach-wise, they were outstanding last year. They were an A. This year, we don't know. And that's the real question that I'm trying to answer. How much of that was Ben Johnson on offense, and how much of that was the personnel that they have? We don't know that answer yet, but I imagine we'll find out really, really soon.
Well, what about the other side of the ball, too? Let's not underrate what Aaron Glenn was doing. Almost all of the starters were injured, and that's why some people would say, oh, they're going to be fine now. Aiden Hutchinson's healthy. It wasn't just Aiden Hutchinson. Far and away, the most valuable player on defense, one of the most valuable players on that team. I totally get it, and he's going to be good to go. But a lot of those guys aren't healthy yet. That's the other thing. A lot of key cogs on that team. Well, maybe Thanksgiving. They're probably going to miss the first month of the season coming back from this or that. Got an ACL here. It was remarkable. All the injuries piling up, they might end up hurting them for a couple of years, even though let's talk about regular season success. Okay, I don't think that's what really matters. So it wasn't just the coordinators. It was also a number of other assistants. Did you notice who the passing game coordinator is this year?
No.
David Shaw.
They don't know how to pass with David Shaw.
Well, I'm just saying. I don't know what John Morton is going to be. He's your new OC taking over for Ben Johnson, and you can criticize Johnson with his play calling and his trickery in the playoff game, and I get it, but how's John Morton going to be? He was a special assistant with this team a few years ago. He was a passing game coordinator with Sean Payton in Denver last year. I don't know. They promote Kelvin Shepard from linebackers coach to defensive coordinator. How is that going to go? I'm not quite sure. And let's not forget, this pass defense was putrid. So will a healthy Aiden Hutchinson fix all of that? I don't know. I don't know about that. We're talking about giving up, 224 passing yards per game? That was third worst in the league. So I don't think that secondary is completely fixed. And they are, you know, Rakestraw is already out. It looks like he's done for the year, too. Like, these injuries have not stopped. So I have a lot of concerns. Oh, here's another one we almost forgot.
Ragnow.
Yeah, retired. The center, Frank Ragnow, retired. That is a guy, and I know last year, not the same version, of course, but that's a guy over the years with the Lions, when we would see that he was on the injury report, you're looking on Friday. Okay, let's see what Ragnow's status is. He might be worth something, maybe a point to the point spread, something like that. Because after quarterback, in many scenarios, if you got a good one, one of the most valuable positions on the team. A lot of bad, man. Here's more bad. Road schedule. Last few years, they have been very lucky. They have played in domes most of their games. For some reason, the schedule was soft. It's a tough schedule, and I'm just going to list off the road games, Sam. You start in Green Bay. Week 3, Baltimore Monday night. Week 5 at Cincinnati the following Sunday in Arrowhead. Weeks 10 and 11 back-to-back at Washington, at Philadelphia. Week 15 at the LA Rams. Last 2 weeks, tough divisional matchups, I think, at Minnesota, at Chicago. Those road games are brutal.
Win total, 10.5. Juice to the under. So I think they're more than content with this position at 10.5. Public's probably going to take the over. Sharps have taken the under. They could win 11, though. I mean, they could go 11-6 easily, but the path is much tougher. Here's what I wanted to talk about. Not win the North, not win the NFC, not win the Super Bowl. How about the playoff market? People probably thinking right now, well, what's the yes price? Minus 300, minus 350. Nope. BetMGM has minus 200. Doesn't that look really easy to just lay minus 200? and parlay that with other stuff, and just that's your North Star. That's your home base. If you're going to build a parlay, a playoff parlay, oh, I'll put the Lions in. I'll put the Ravens in. I'll put the Bills in. And I'll put in the Chargers. But a lot of those playoff parlays, I believe, are going to start with Lions because they are the best team on paper in the division. But be careful. I think Minnesota's 53-man is better. I've talked enough about that. Green Bay should be better. Chicago should be better. Have they closed the gap enough, though? We'll see. But I have not made a single bet on the Detroit Lions. Here's the one thing I was thinking about. Actually, not thinking about betting, but just thinking about overall, because I have McCaffrey, offensive player. I talked about this a lot last week. I bet him 25-1 in Vegas, and I've added some 22-1 on McCaffrey. My big fear from my McCaffrey bet is that the new OC, John Morton, just starts streamlining Jahmyr Gibbs. And Jahmyr Gibbs touches the ball 400 times in the regular season. We actually had a guest on about 3 weeks ago that talked about this, who said Morton is thinking about using Gibbs like the Chiefs used to use Priest Holmes, like the Titans used to use Chris Johnson. Just get him the ball and get the bleep out of the way. If that's the case, Jahmyr Gibbs could have a monster season and ruin all my McCaffrey tickets for OPOY.
But are they really going to just take David Montgomery and just cast him aside at this point? That's what's been, as far as props wise, that's what's been going around in my brain. So David Montgomery, the rushing total is 725.5. He's never had under that. His years in Chicago, his last 2 years here with the Detroit Lions. The one that I kind of gravitated towards was David Montgomery rushing touchdowns. That's at 8.5. So Gibbs, we know, used so much in the passing game, but they have a rushing touchdown number on Gibbs at 10.5. And we know Montgomery has been the vulture with Ben Johnson, no longer there, 8.5 for him. His 2 years in Detroit, Montgomery goes 13 rushing touchdowns, then 12 rushing touchdowns. He played in 14 games in each year. Man, even if Gibbs is the main guy, I still think Montgomery goes over that touchdown number.
We'll ask Will Brinson about this, who covers the NFL for CBS. Curious to find out what he thinks about how they're going to split this backfield, because we don't know. There's no sample of what John Morton will do as an offensive coordinator. But I look at Gibbs, his first year as a rookie, 234 touches. Last year, 302. He's 23, dude. He's in the prime of his career. These are usually the years where you get fed. And I tend to think Gibbs is going to have a much bigger year. Call that a gut instinct. But I look at him, OPOY. There's a 13-1 in the market. There's a 12-1 in the market. I see 9-1s in the market. So it's getting bet. No doubt about it. Everybody likes Barkley, although you should have probably bet Barkley last summer, not this summer. But Gibbs is the one guy, I'll just be honest, he scares the hell out of me. He's the guy holding McCaffrey this year.
Sonic and Knuckles is dead. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know. That'd be something. I wouldn't think that it's a layup that Montgomery, A, stays on the field, and B, is used as much. But I could be way off on that.
The playoff market that you pointed out is really interesting, because the Lions used to be in that elite group. Like, we're laying $4, whatever, to make the playoffs, and now it's cut in half down to $2. And then to miss, like, that used to be something that was pretty interesting. But now you look at it, it's plus 165 to miss. I'm not interested in that price. Like, yeah, I'd be willing to have that conversation about the Lions missing the playoffs, but I'm not even getting 2-1 at them in a weaker conference. Like, you look after Philadelphia, where's all the big strength, the killer teams? Like, Washington, okay, I want to see it again. Detroit, they have a ton of talent, but I'm only getting plus 165 to miss with 7 spots. That's not worth a bet. I'm willing to fade the Lions, whether it's betting on a different team to take the NFC North. We could talk about the win total. I'm fine doing that. But man, 15 wins last year, and now they set it at 10.5. It's the same as Denver. It's the same as the Rams. The market is not high on, even though it's 10.5, the market is down on the Lions.
I think there's three teams that could win the AFC. There might be six teams that could win the NFC.
Yep, totally agree. Make or miss the college football playoff. We'll talk about some looks there on the other side. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. Joe O, Sammy P with you, talking some college football. Of course, get Indiana one more time. I don't know that there will be a ton of Indiana highlights this upcoming season, but that's going to be another fun storyline to make sure that we keep a close eye on it. Bunch of college football coming your way here on the show. We've got our buddy Michael Felder dropping by in 20 minutes. Always a fun conversation. Maybe a calculator will be involved. Solar baby. Maybe. Looking forward to that. But now let's talk about some make and miss the playoff numbers. You know, before we jump into that, I'm reminded of something that you sent me yesterday, which I found absolutely hilarious. Why don't you share with the class, because they may have missed it. I didn't see this make headlines yesterday. Maybe it was just something that kind of broke on the internet, and maybe it's going to go elsewhere. The Portnoy story involving.
Oh,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I don't know what this is. Honestly, it sort of feels like, what's the term? It feels like it's not real. It feels like it's a hook, an attention getter.
Now, it is a legit reporter. That guy does break a lot of media stuff.
I just think it's about getting eyeballs on the product. I don't know that this is real. I mean, I respect Ryan Glassbiegel. I do. But I feel like this might be an inside job. So he put the tweet out late last night, 9:42 p.m. Eastern. Ohio State has barred Dave Portnoy from the stadium for his debut on Fox's Big Noon Kickoff, sources tell Front Office Sports. Portnoy will still appear on the pregame show at the Horseshoe, but Barstool's college football show will not be in Columbus, and Portnoy will not be allowed in the stadium. Are you buying that? Can Ohio State do that? Question mark.
Well, he also put in there, you know, hat tip to Bobby Carpenter, who is a legit dude in the business, like former Ohio State linebacker, played in the league a little bit. He's got a very popular show in Columbus now. He does a lot of media stuff. He's excellent at it. I think sometimes he's calling games from time to time. You're basically asking me, is Ohio State this petty? Oh, yeah, they are. Are you kidding me? Dude, Ryan Day grabbed a microphone and was screaming about Lou Holtz, how he disrespected his players. They are absolutely this petty. What do they call Michigan? The team up north. This is college football, man. Yeah, I believe it. And I understand where you're coming from and your skepticism and why you're not sure that this is 100% real. I think it is. Now, maybe if there's some blowback, there's reconsiderations that happen. But I think this is real. And you think about Portnoy and how he's laughed and made fun of Ohio State over the years. How about that dynamic, too, with Urban Meyer, right? Like, there's a lot of things in the mix here, but I 100% believe it. And then you would have multiple Michigan people, right, on that set in your house, and how weird they are in Columbus. I don't know. I kind of believe it, and I think it's hilarious.
So I think obviously Fox is trying to drum up interest, and I work for Fox. And let me be very clear. I have no knowledge of the inner workings of this scenario, but if I was trying to compete with College Game Day, what better than a WWE style blockout where you can't let Portnoy in the stadium? But the problem is Ohio State probably is going to host more than one Big Noon Kickoff, because Ohio State's a top five team in the country right now. So how do they play this up? Because usually, you know, you have the set outside the stadium. So he doesn't technically need to go in. But is this something that they lean into? And if it is real that he's actually not allowed inside the stadium, think about the digital plays. Think about what Fox Sports Digital can do in the first, second, third, fourth quarter with Portnoy outside the stadium or at a local bar. You know, he famously snuck into, was it Radio Row at the Super Bowl with the mustache and the eyeglasses? Big Cat PFT did it as well. I mean, you could do so much more from a digital footprint standpoint. Think about a video of Dave Portnoy trying to sneak into the horseshoe, what that would do on social media. I think in some weird way, this is a win for Fox. This is a win for Big Noon Kickoff. That's sort of how I see the ball.
It's a good thought. I like that. And you know how Barstool goes, and they're very good at that and get at the engagement. And that's what they're hoping for with this play. November 1st, by the way, Penn State at Ohio State. So that'll be another big one. You think they'll go to Champaign for the Ohio State-Illinois game?
Depends. By that point, Illinois will be what, 3-3? Or 6-0? I lose track. Are they going to be 3-3 or 6-0 by that point?
Right now you're supposed to say 6-0, but yeah, you'll be leaning 3-3 coming up in a couple of weeks from now. I wanted to kind of go reverse, because I think what most people do when talk about making miss the playoff markets, they're thinking of the teams that they think are going to be successful. And I was going back to last year in the first year of the 12-team playoff. And I want to say that, so I looked at the top 10 preseason rankings, and I know that means very little, but just to get an idea of which teams were getting the hype. I want to say that a couple of these teams that were in the top 10 last year, we were pointing out and saying, no, that ain't it. No, you want to fade Michigan. They're probably not going to be in the playoff. No, Florida State, yeah, they're top 10 AP, but no, they're not going to have a great year. It felt like those were kind of easy to identify. I'm not going to sit here and say that we were calling Bama or Ole Miss to miss the playoff, teams that were 5-6. But it felt like there were a couple of teams that were pretty easy to identify that they were fade teams, and they ended up being. This year, I wonder, because last year's like the top four, they all made the playoff. So if I go, you know, Texas, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, can you make the argument that any of these teams are missing the playoff?
I can make a case really easily for Ohio State and Georgia. I think Georgia's talent has depreciated a ton since they won the national championship twice. Remember, they won two. But the players, I mean, when you lose five guys to the NFL draft on defense in three straight years, it may seem like that's easy to replenish and recycle, but it's not. And I'm sorry, like, maybe this is a hot take, but Gunnar Stockton does nothing for me. I think he's just a guy. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that, but to go from Stetson Bennett to Carson Beck to Gunnar Stockton is not progression, it's regression. You're not going to get big numbers, I think, from Gunnar Stockton. And you're also going to get a nice price. So Ohio State to make the playoff, BetMGM has minus 325. The no is plus 250. Don't love that split, but is what it is. Look, they have a true rookie at quarterback, essentially. Now, they're going to call him a redshirt freshman, but this kid's never played, and he's never played against good teams. So now you throw him into the fire week one against Texas, a top 10, maybe top five defense in the country. They lose that game, potentially. So now you're 0-1. You got to take on Penn State. Penn State's a higher power-rated team for me. And then you got to go to Michigan, who you haven't beaten 4 years. You're 9-3. You're not making the playoff with those three losses, because you have to win a big game, Joe. So if you lose to Texas, Penn State, Michigan, you're out. It's improbable, and the math clearly favors Ohio State. But of those four teams you mentioned, I would be entertaining looks on Ohio State to miss and Georgia to miss. And the reason why, nobody else is saying that. Because everybody just assumes, oh, well, Ohio State will make it. They always make it. And they won the national title last year. They lost 14 guys of the NFL draft. Seven guys in the first two rounds. That's a lot. And you don't have this veteran quarterback to help you on early in this season. So I have doubts about those quarterbacks. Of the four teams you mentioned, I don't trust Gunnar Stockton. And the hype is real on this saying, kid. But we don't know. Until we see it, we don't know.
The positive with Georgia is the Texas and Bama games are at home. So there's that. But yeah, no, that's a pretty strong case. And maybe it's something you do after a couple of games because they start soft, really soft. Marshall, Austin Peay, I'm not buying Tennessee, but they go there in the third week of the season. That could be a time to fade. Okay, I find that interesting. So, like, I was thinking about Notre Dame. The question about the quarterback is fair, but elsewhere, like, they're almost all back, including their all-world running backs. So there's enough wins on the schedule, and they're so popular, they're probably going to end up getting in. I wonder about Oregon, man. If you're high on Penn State and Ohio State, you think they're good enough. Now, you made a decent case for them to miss. I'm expecting Michigan to take a leap. Like, somebody's got to take a step back. And with the replacement at quarterback, a lot of changes with the transfers there. I wonder if Oregon's going to be able to match what they did last regular season.
Think about Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon. I'll just give you facts, not hot takes. Mm-hmm. Penn State brings back 14 starters and their starting quarterback. Okay? Ohio State brings back 7 starters and they're going to start a freshman quarterback, a redshirt freshman. Oregon brings back 6 starters and they have a new quarterback. One of those things is not like the other. There's stability at Penn State. There's production returning at Penn State. That's a team that is loaded on both sides of the ball. We know Ohio State and Oregon have talent, but the returning production is not there, and you have 2 new quarterbacks. Just be careful.
I mentioned I like Michigan. They're 2-1 to make the playoff. The schedule is so much softer. I think that's a decent bet. You know, we'll probably circle back to this, but is there any team that you quickly want to throw out that you want to make sure you get back to?
Illinois?
Oh, God. No, there isn't. There's no way you're betting them. No way.
No.
Yeah, we'll have to get back to that.
We'll come back to it.
Okay, Joe O, Sammy P. But guess what? The college football conversation continues. Michael Felder next, one of our favorites here on the BetMGM Network.